This is Nightmares of the Americas, Indigenous Tales. The show will start in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody, to Nightmares of the Americas, Indigenous Tales. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Gabriel.
How are you doing today, Gabe?
I'm doing better now. We got the show to work.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. We tried, what is it, 9 times tried to record? This feels like.
Yeah, about 99 problems, and this is one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know what 9 is upside down? 6. Multiply it times 3, 666.
Oh, yeah. the number of that guy.
Yeah.
The beast.
Axl Rose. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it
was Axl Rose.
I don't know. We've had a lot of blah. See, now my tongue's all swollen. I'm like on Bedtime Story when he gets stung by a bee in his tongue. Blah, blah.
Oh,
blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And good old Russell Brand's in that movie. I love Russell Brand.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was in that movie. I love him in that movie. It's hilarious.
Yeah, he just gave up acting. Now he's like some guru in Britain. And I don't know what he's doing. He's doing a podcast. I listen to it because I'm a crazy person too.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're doing all right.
Yeah. Trying to get through this week, this month. Summer's almost here. It's always a fun time in our boiling hot summer we live in.
Yeah, it's pretty hot.
It'll be fine. Just give us an excuse to go to the coast more.
No, I'm just going to lay outside on the hot cement, see if I can fry myself like a piece of bologna.
Hard boiled bologna.
Yep. Just the crusty bologna. Not even the good kind. Just the crusty, dusty, musty bologna. I don't know what's going on with me. My life's just been terrible. So hopefully it changes. I don't know. I think I pissed somebody off. Maybe I spit at somebody and they put a curse on me, or I don't know. Something.
I don't know. Send good medicine our way.
Yeah, please. I gotta figure something out. It's just been awful. And oh well, but that's life, you know. But anyway, we hope you guys follow us on all your major podcasting platforms at our podcast that you're listening to us on, you know, kind of cool. Got this thing going on. Make sure you follow us, subscribe, all the good stuff that really helps us out. Make sure you have that. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, make sure you have that auto download on checked on because Apple likes to just mess with people. I think Apple's like on their decline. And Spotify is like on the upswing because Spotify is hooking it up for sure.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I know a lot of people listen on Apple because they have Apple devices and it's just easier, you know, like they make it really easy for podcasts. I think that's why they were like the powerhouse for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. And I made a post too on our Instagram, Indigenous_Tales, if you want to check that out, about the whole Apple podcast situation, how they changed the settings and stuff. And some people commented like, oh, thanks for letting me know. Cause they didn't know. Cause they just switched it without telling anybody.
Yeah. That's so stupid. But anyway, so make sure you do all that stuff. And you want some free stickers. All you have to do is give us a 5-star rating on any of the major podcasting platforms. And if you are on Apple, go ahead and leave a comment. You know what? Let's do some news comments. Let's do, I want to know, your favorite cheese. That's what I want to know. So in the comments, just write your favorite cheese. But
interesting.
And if you don't like cheese, tell me why you don't like cheese. We had cheese and crackers. That was the OG. But now I want to see what your cheese is. I'm a Munster guy. Always have been. Always will.
There you go. Good old Munster cheese.
Gabe is a government non-meltable cheese.
Non-meltable. You got to cook it for an hour. Melt, have it under the fire for an hour to get it to melt.
No, then it just turns to plastic.
Yeah, then it kills you.
I always left a wrapper on. I don't know.
Could be.
Yeah, just put something like that and screenshot that. Send it to info@bhillnetwork.com with your mailing address and your alias, and we'll shoot you out some free stickers. We are all caught up with stickers. And like Gabe said earlier, if you want to check us out on social media, go ahead and do that at Indigenous_Tales. We're on all the things, so make sure you just follow us on all the things. If you want to check out some of our merch, get some of our cool stuff, go to indigenoustales.threadless.com. Make sure you sign up for the mailing address and or the mailing list, and they will send you you'll get sent like a discount code. Like I think it's 25% off first time purchase. And then you'll also be notified when there's sales. So go ahead and do that as well.
Yeah. And then also congratulations to our lucky winners from our giveaway that we just had. They were announced on our social media. And we got their information and stuff, so we'll be sending them. Their stuff should be headed their way. They got to pick out their prizes and all that stuff. So thank you for joining. And make sure to follow us because, you know, you can get in on the future giveaway.
So the world burning down and everything going crazy, you know, and just chaos and war and nonsense and politicians stealing all your money and no representation and taxation through the roof if you're in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're going to do a little Turtle Island Talk 3. So
yay.
Get ready for some stories. We'll talk about some news, some pretty cool things, some pretty horrible things. And we're just going to talk about what's going on right now in Turtle Island.
Yeah. Pretty excited.
So I'm going to start off with to our relatives up north in Canada. So a group calling themselves the First Nations Land Defense Alliance was joined on Tuesday. So this is a couple weeks ago. So I think it was still April. So around April 15th, 16th, something like that, by about 150 supporters in Thunder Bay to rally against radioactive nuclear waste transport and storage in the north. The Nuclear Waste Management Organization has targeted one site near Ignace in the Wabagoon River watershed and another near South Bruce in southern Ontario as potential sites for storing all of Canada's radioactive nuclear waste. So this organization, you know, they're a little upset because they want to know, and this is very, very warranted. This is, I mean, very justified. They want to know what are the safety precautions that are going to be in place to transport and store this nuclear waste, because it's kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah, especially when you're dealing with stuff like nuclear waste.
Yeah, if you have a spill, you could have Moose Man and Beaver Man, and they'll turn into superheroes.
Okay, that would be pretty cool, though.
Man, I would love to have a superhero. We just need something crazy. Well, you know what? The world's too crazy. Never mind. Shut it down. No more nuclear waste. Can't have nuclear. What are they called? Mutants. We can't have mutants. Just too much. Mutants. I'm going to keep saying it like that. Mutants. Just because it bothers somebody. I know it does. So a decision on one of these two sites will be made by the Waste Management Organization by the end of the year. However, much work has to be done between the Waste Management Organization and the Township of Ignace to help the community better understand the transportation and storage details. Meanwhile, neighboring First Nation communities are speaking out against the proposal with concerns about the risks of transportation accidents and long-term leaks, which again, very justified. If I'm an organization, and I believe this is a government-ran organization or a contractor or something like that that's under government leadership or payment, you think it would be their job to go to the community leaders, especially the First Nations community leaders, and just say, look, this is where we want to go. This is how we're going to do it. And these are the safety precautions.
Yeah.
And they're giving a plan, but the leaders believe it's lacking more safety precautions.
Hmm.
So leaders in the communities have rejected what they call a controversial project and have stepped up their fight to protect their people, land, water, and way of life from industrial impacts. On Tuesday, their voice became louder. Chief Rudy Turtle said his community is very concerned about the potential catastrophe stemming from a leak in the storage area that he said could spread to the northwest, contaminating animals, fish, and water. He goes on to say, I've seen the design and how deep they're going to go, but we met with the consultant Monday, and he disagrees with the management organization's assessment. Turtle said he gave us an example of one site where 30 years after it was installed, it cracked and it started leaking into the watershed. Turtle also added, our message today is that we don't want the nuclear waste to be put near Ignace, Ontario. Now, Chief Wilfred King of the Gull Bay First Nation said it's important that First Nations align with the idea of bringing nuclear waste into northwestern Ontario. The science isn't good enough to convince me that this is a safe way to deposit nuclear material. King said, in no way would we have ever realized this coming to fruition someday and not knowing the dangers of nuclear waste. Citing the Robertson-Superior Treaty of 1850, the treaty was to establish a relationship between First Nations and Europeans on the basis of respect for one another. Included in the treaty was an understanding that the British Crown would not interfere with the economy or activities of First Nations, and that the two nations would agree to live side by side. We feel the Nuclear Waste Management Organization needs our consent to transport that to our territory. King pointed out that there has been no communication between the First Nations and the Waste Management Organization. Councilperson Samuel McKay added that it's important for their voices to be heard. We're deeply concerned about the protection of our environment, not only for us, but it's for everybody in general, he said. He added that there has been some recent communication between his community and the Nuclear Waste Management Organization, who is telling them the process is extremely safe. There are no problems. With any resource development, there's always going to be risks. He said his concerns for the alliance are also about that of transportation and nuclear waste, and pointed out that the track record of rail and transportation accidents have gone up exponentially, which is completely true. We know that. I mean, in the U.S. too, for some reason last year, they just started pushing trains off tracks. What the hell's going on with that?
Trains were just derailing into people's houses, just off the, just completely in the middle of a park.
Ghost train.
Yeah, just ghost train everywhere. It was so weird on the highway. Like, why did this train get here?
He's over there all boop, boop. Please all get out of here. And the guy's over there shoveling coal. Come on, mister, shoveling coal. Yeah. Hmm? You're like, why is an old timer reporter in there shoveling coal? He's like, extra. Come on, guys.
Some drunk conductor with a bottle, those old bottles of whiskey that had like the X's on them. The jugs.
It's like, wait, that's poison. Why would you? It's just poison. So
who parked this house on my train track? It's like, sir, you're in my house.
I think it's all those youngins who are throwing quarters on the rails, trying to get a flattened quarter, pitching pennies.
Back okay, in my is that day, true?
Playing kick the can. I don't know. I just went back to a Stephen King show or a Stephen King book, like from the '50s or something.
I always heard people would do that, and it would it really derail a train if you put like a penny on the track?
No, we used to do it all the time as kids. That was for real though.
Okay,
on Edison Highway. Like Joseph, our buddy Joseph lived on Edison Highway. We would go there and we'd put a bunch of pennies on the rail. I don't know if you're like, maybe it does. I don't know. And then we'd wait and then the trains would go by and then we'd come back and find a bunch of flattened pennies. We're like, yay. That was swell, mister.
Oh.
Because we talked like that back then. Oh, jeepers.
I don't know. Yep. Why. You get some flattened pennies.
So, you could understand what these people are going through. I mean, it's very scary. And I think a lot of the things about nuclear waste, well, nuclear power plants in general, they don't have a good track record because a lot of this stuff was built a long time ago and they never kept up with the maintenance because the regulation was laxing. Like now, like the newer, I was listening to, who's a theoretical physicist out of Harvard, and he was talking about nuclear power and how efficient it is and how amazing it is and stuff like that. And he was saying these plants that they're building in Korea and in China are just amazing. And they have every safety protocol that they could have, but it's also they're storing the waste on site. So that's completely different. Yeah. Because they have to be a certain distance away, like for safety regulations. So I can understand that you're transporting waste. And we know that if you do this, then Captain Planet will arrive and then hopefully he'll help, you know, kick the bad guys and take pollution down to zero.
Yeah. You got the kid with the monkey. And I think his power was heart.
Yeah, he was a
heart
Brazilian. He was the only indigenous kid on there.
And they had to give him the monkey, huh?
And all they gave him was heart. That was it. You know, everyone else got fired and earth and like he all the elements. And the only indigenous kid, he just goes, I love, but I don't get any powers. That was messed up.
He got a sidekick, though, I guess. But it's completely understandable, like questioning these companies to be like, okay, so what is your plan? And it's never a good response when they just say, well, trust me, it works. I need a little more than I need a little bit more than just trust me, it'll work.
Yeah, the guy looks like Kingpin from Daredevil or Spider-Man, and he's over there. He's all, he's all safety. Calm down, Kingpin.
That guy just did a maniacal laugh as he walked away. I don't know how much I trust him.
Yeah, with his fingers together.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you updated on that because it's supposed to be later on this year. They're supposed to make a decision and see what's going on with this. So good luck.
Yeah, hopefully it all works out and they get it to where it's it actually protects the environment because so many things can go wrong. If they were disposing of this stuff improperly.
Let's take a quick break. family annihilators, kids with dark secrets, and horrific home invasions. These are the kind of bone-chilling tales I tell you about on Stranger in the House, a true crime podcast that will have you double-checking that you have locked all your doors and windows. Because we tell the stories that show that your home can become a house of horrors at any minute. These crimes will have you asking, what is a stranger? And is there one in my house right now? Listen to the Stranger in the House podcast now, if you're brave enough.
See, that's a problem because Canada isn't like not even as close as big as the United States, where it is. But what I mean is we have like states that just have nothing in them. So there's so much desert here. You could be like, you know what? Just put it out there. Just put a box around it. Just put no. And then some weird desert person will find it.
No. Oh, maybe they should send it to desert. The zone of silence. Send it over there.
Oh yeah, send it. Yeah, ship it to Mexico.
They already got the Nordics out there and the all the grays hanging out. Just give them some more. Now the nuclear waste might make them more powerful. Never mind.
Oh yeah,
because they already have like purple mutated plants and all like mutated animals.
The
and
turtles
stuff already.
Those cool turtles with all the weird squares on them and stuff.
Yeah, never mind. I take it back. All right. Well, we'll stick into this theme of, you know, nuclear waste and all these kind of companies. I read a interesting article that was titled Olmec Head Crushes Tesla. And when I read it, I was like, oh, that's interesting. The more I read into it, I learned that Tesla has been working on expanding their business into Mexico. And the company plans to build a cheaper next-generation electric vehicle at a massive facility in the state of Nuevo León. And this is helped in part by $153 million in local government incentives. So, of course, the government of Mexico is all on board. They're just like, yeah, come over here, Mr. Elon Musk. Give us your money. Or we'll give you money to make us money.
Well, yeah, of course. You got to get in on that.
Yeah. And you know, I'm sure many of our listeners know, and if you don't know, that there's an ongoing lithium war in Mexico because Mexico holds important potential lithium deposits, and it is a highly sought after material for the production of electric vehicle batteries. So companies like this is like their bread and butter. They want to set up shop, and I mean, this stuff is real. I would say it's ugly. The mining operations.
Oh my God. It's completely ridiculous.
Yeah. It's not fun stuff. It's the people that have to work in these environments are, you know, not in the best working conditions, and they're not really getting paid a lot. Plus it damages the environment. There's like a lot of stuff that goes on with this stuff, but because you hear like, oh, electric vehicle or energy saving vehicle, a lot of people are on board and they're like, well, this is the way to go. It's going to save the environment, but it's not,
it's all bullcrap. It's all baloney. Everything you hear like that, I'm all set. It's all messed up. Watch, there's a documentary called The Dark Side of Green Energies. And it sounds really good. Like, hey, yeah, like Gabe said, green energy, all this stuff. But all these mining operations, the carbon emissions that they put out, it's 10 times more. If not, it's not even 10. It's way more, you know, problematic. They just put out so much carbon emissions to make that battery for that vehicle. And then a new study came out, and I think it was in California, because California is pushing this whole thing for, oh, electric vehicles. But then your stupid idiot governor's like, but don't charge them because our grid can't handle it. Yeah, idiot. In the summer, we're not allowed to turn on our AC.
We have power out. Like the PG&E just shuts off people's power.
Oh, yeah. They don't tell you. They just go, hey, guess what? Click. You're done.
Because the temperatures get so hot and the grid is just getting so overworked. So it's like, oh, we're just going to shut off this block from here. It's like thousands of people don't have power for like a whole day.
Yeah. But the idiot governor's like, you know what? Everyone go electric vehicles. Then they did a new study and they found out that electric vehicles put out more CO2 because of their tires, because they're so heavy that they keep burning through tires really quickly. There's other things that are going on. And also a lot of the electricity, when you power them, like there's a huge giant Tesla powering station in, oh gosh, I can't remember. It's in, it's right by Harris Ranch. What it's called. Kalinga? I don't know. It's somewhere. It's by the Harris Ranch, which You already have the ranch. So they have this huge area of, it's like supposed to be the largest charging station, I think, in California, if not more. It's massive. I was just there like a couple months ago, and it's powered by diesel engines.
Wow.
And they run constantly. The diesel engines run constantly, or diesel. Yeah, for the generators. They have to. Diesel generators. Yeah. So the diesel generators generate the electricity. So there's all these just different misconceptions, but people like to watch the South Park episode of everyone with their Prius, because that's the one where they all like to smell their own farts because they're so pretentious.
Oh, yeah.
And those people, it's like, oh, I'm safe. You're not. Look into it. The technology's not there yet. But anyway, these people get treated so poorly in these mines. And if you watch this documentary, it'll show, like, oh, it's just horrible. Horrible. It's like when Blood Diamonds, you know, the documentaries on Blood Diamonds came out, and everyone's like, oh, what? It's like, where did you think they just, it was a fairy picking diamond mushrooms? They're like, what did you think?
They look pretty, but look at the cost that where you're getting it from. But just to add to what you said, like, even here in Tehachapi, there's like fields of just solar panels too. And like we were talking about, it kills all the birds. All the birds.
Oh no, those are the not solar panels.
Are not the solar the panels. The wind turbines.
Wind turbines, yeah.
There's like fields and fields of these giant wind turbines, and the birds just fly into them.
They're dead birds everywhere. It just kills the environment.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Like, there has to be a better way. I don't know. There has to be, though.
Yeah, it just seems like it's like the lesser of two evils, but it's I don't know. There has to be a better way, like you said.
But instead, just kill all the animals? Yeah.
Yeah, let's just do that. And also, studies suggest that Mexico may have 1.7 million tons of lithium, while close to a dozen foreign companies have active mining concessions that aim to develop potential lithium deposits aside from Tesla. So Tesla is like the main one everyone hears about, but there's a lot more companies that are there digging up for this lithium. Because you hear Tesla, like everyone knows what Tesla is.
That's kind of like saying Apple, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, Apple's not the only smartphone. Like, Apple doesn't even have like the market majority share, I think, of smartphones, because I think most countries there's a lot of countries that can't have Apple phones.
Yeah.
So Android is just way, but Android is what? That's the OS. So you have Samsung, you have, you know, LG, you have all these different companies, but it's all the same thing. And I think Tesla, because the name is so big here, especially, and we know Elon, you know, we don't know Elon Musk, but we hear the name Elon Musk all the time.
Yeah, we know Elon Musk. Hey, Elon,
what's up, bro?
We were having brunch with him the other day.
I think he eats.
He eats like a lithium. Pellet.
I think he eats lithium.
A pellet of lithium,
allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Don't come at me. I'm sorry. I still want to be on Twitter.
So this story that I read, it talked about a giant stone head that resembled an ancient sculpture, and a picture of it showed it crushing a Tesla car, and a lot of people. At first, when they saw it, they thought it was a big accident, but it's just a work of art that somebody made in protest for Elon Musk's plans to build this company, this factory in Mexico, and it was made to provoke Elon Musk. The artist's name is Chavez Marmol. He's a 42-year-old sculptor who has never owned a car, he says. He travels by bicycle or he walks, and he came up with the idea of dropping the 9-ton carving onto a blue Tesla 3 in Mexico using cranes. A video released by the Colima 71 Hotel shows the moment when the head was released and the car's roof gradually caved in, though not before its batteries had been removed, because he didn't want to spill all that bad stuff everywhere. He just wanted
It'll catch on fire and then you can't put it out. That's another problem with these electric vehicles. You ever watch videos on YouTube? It's pretty fun to like go through all the videos.
It's scary.
And they're like, are you gonna put it out? They're like, nah, it's just bye. Tell it bye.
Watch it burn.
Let's go. And then the song, I couldn't finish it because copyright.
So Chavez was inspired by the colossal head carvings of the Olmec, and he says it's considered the first known major Mesoamerica civilization. And this happened at a boutique hotel in the Roma district, and they teamed up with Marmol in support of this. So the hotel was on board too, which is pretty cool. And another thing that I read that was interesting when he did this, because, you know, it's, you always get those people online who they just want to be offended for somebody, or they want to like stand up for justice when they really don't know what's going on. So they thought,
oh, you mean the broken people? Yeah, the broken people.
They thought that he was using an actual like artifact of an Olmec head to do this, and they were calling him disrespectful, and they were saying like, oh, how could you destroy such a, how could you use this you know, artifact to do this protest? And he was like, I carved it, I made it myself. And when we post the pictures, it clearly, it it's too perfect to look like an ancient artifact too.
Is that like low-key racist where they're like, these Mexicans, oh, they just leave their artifacts all around, and any artist could pick them up and throw them at a Tesla? It kind of seems like low-key, like,
like, yeah, like, a little bit.
Kind of like the, what was her name? The governor of New York, when she came out and she's all, well, some black people, oh, in, yeah, the Bronx, some black kids, they don't even know what a computer is. And I'm all, wait,
yeah,
what? She really said, I thought it was like a Babylon Bee kind of thing, like, or like The Onion, like something, one of those parodies. And then I watched the video and I was like, oh my gosh, they don't know what a computer is.
Yeah, I saw that video today, actually.
Like Hillary Clinton going, hey, vote for me, I keep my Cholula with me. So what are we doing here? This is not okay. Yeah. You know, sombreros. Yeah, like, wait, we're Dominican. What are you talking about?
It's like, oh, that's not even part of my culture.
Oh gosh.
It's just wild that he had to like come out and say, like, no, I made the sculpture and I did this in protest. It's not a real authentic sculpture. Like, come on.
It looks amazing. Like the sculpture, oh, yeah, looks awesome. Really cool.
But people were so mad. They're like, huh, how can he do this? He's disrespecting the culture. And it's such
an ancient artifact. It's so smooth and like not weathered or anything. It's so smooth looking. And
yeah,
that's so funny.
It's so funny. He says, my idea was to make a piece to troll Elon Musk. He said, it would be incredible if the multi-billionaire Tesla boss saw it. Look what I do to your lousy car with this wonderful head. This is bigger than you and the rampant technologies. His comments coming a year after the electric car maker announced plans to build a huge factory in northern Mexico. The idea for the artwork became reality following a conversation between Marmol and the hotel's artistic director. Her name was Anna Margarita Onge, and she said, he very casually told me my dream was to put an Olmec head on a Tesla. And at that moment, I told him, well, let's do it. So she was on board as soon as he told her.
Let's go.
Yeah. But they had to buy the Tesla, mm-hmm, which they kind of hit a few roadblocks because they couldn't afford a brand new Tesla. So they bought a used one, and a used one cost $40,000.
That's
in Mexico.
Okay. 40,000, that's American.
40,000 American. Yeah. She said that the only way they were able to get this vehicle was from an anonymous donor who helped them get the used vehicle. So he still sold it to him, but he wanted to remain anonymous, to where he's like, hey, don't tell nobody I helped you, but I'm cutting you guys a deal. I got you this used Tesla. Just kick me 40 grand and it's all yours. Do whatever you want with it. Marmol said, what do I feel when I see this? What does Tesla mean to me? What does it mean that they are installing a plant in Monterrey? What does Musk generate among us? He said that it did not bother him seeing something worth $40,000 being destroyed because, and I quote, it wasn't my money. It's a wonderful thing about art. It allows these atrocities, he said. So his whole thing was he just wanted to make a statement.
Well, yeah, art's supposed to be provocative. I mean, a lot of it's provocative. A lot of it's supposed to make you think. It's think pieces, just like comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Like you want to start the conversation. You want to be, okay, that's pretty cool. Or, okay, why did he do this? And then start the conversation and then see, okay, well, what do the people think? If the people are on board, it's kind of hard to go against what the people want. Now, if it's like, I don't know how the Mexican government's ran. I don't ever look into them at all. I don't know if they're corrupt or not corrupt, but to me, most governments are corrupt anyway. And if it's more of like, hey, we're going to pump this much money into your economy, which is going to make you look good, which is going to make you be reelected. Sounds kind of bogus, but you could see something like that happening without giving the respect to the people. Because us in the U.S., we don't want wars, and the U.S. government's like, hey, you know what we should do? Start a war. Yeah, that sounds good. Oh,
and then yeah, hey, they voted for this war. And we're like, no, we didn't. No, yeah, you guys did. You
no,
guys
they don't
voted
care.
For it. So we're just going to go ahead.
No. Yeah. No, they don't care about it. It's like popular, like they do polls and stuff. And the majority of Americans are for term limits for Congress because there's some people in there who are on life support that need to get out. And they're like, we're not going to do that.
They're older than like Wonder Bread when Wonder sliced bread, Wonder Bread.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but they don't care. They're going to keep pumping. No. Anymore. So I wonder if this government is the same way. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. They donated $150 million to Musk. So I don't know, to help him like build the plant.
Oh,
the Mexican government. Yeah. So if they drop that much money.
And I'm sure Mexican labor is way cheaper than American labor. So, I mean,
oh, yeah.
It makes sense, but that's kind of what the American model has been for a long time. The U.S. model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's interesting. And I wonder if Elon Musk even saw this or
he probably did. And he probably thought it was hilarious. I don't know if you guys follow him on X and he doesn't give a crap about anything. It's hilarious. Like somebody talked crap to him and all his response was he posted a meme of one dog with laying down and another dog sitting on his head with the dog's balls on his head, like teabagging him. And then that was his response. And then someone said, did you spend billions of dollars just so you could dunk on people all day long? And he wrote, yes, 100. Like when you have that much money, it doesn't matter.
Because he's considered like a celebrity too. And I think a lot of people in that position, they have a lot of the times they have like PR people who run their social media or they're like, hey, don't post that. But he it just seems like he just doesn't care.
No, he does everything himself.
Yeah. So that, I think that makes it more funny.
Like I watch like, cause I'm a podcast guy, cause we're doing podcasts, but I'm a podcast guy. Sometimes I'll just search people. Like I love Tulsi Gabbard. So I think she's an amazing human being, an amazing person. So I got like on Tulsi Gabbard kick. So I just Google or I go on Spotify and just put Tulsi Gabbard podcast. And then I follow all of her interviews and listen to them. Well, I did that with Elon Musk and it was hilarious because he's on like the Joe Rogan podcast a couple times and he does like quick little interviews and other stuff. But like him and Rogan together are hilarious. I don't care if you agree or disagree or whatever, anything, but if for pure entertainment purposes,
it's just interesting it's like entertaining.
It's completely entertaining.
Yeah.
And the dude does like freaking martial arts, like mixed martial, I don't know, jiu-jitsu. He does some crap like that.
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's like, what are these people like? How do you get to do that? I don't know. It's beyond me.
Who knows?
Yeah. Well, hopefully Elon takes it in consideration, but he probably won't because he's just like, does not compute.
So now I'm going to build two factories in Mexico. How about
he would do something like that. That's what I mean. Like he is like, if I had a bunch of money, I would be so petty. Oh my gosh. I'd be the most petty person in the world. Like I saw this thing today and it said, this lady was honking at me when I was ordering at McDonald's. So I decided to be the better person. And I told the lady, I said, and when I got to pay, I said, you know what? I want to do a kind thing. I want to pay for the woman behind me for her food. And she goes, that is so nice. So we paid for both our meals and she gave me the receipts. And then when I pulled up, I said, oh, I ordered again. And I got both the meals. Girl has to wait in line. Like, that's so petty. Like,
there you go. Food
into, I don't know. It's probably not true. I'd like to hope I hope that it's true.
That's hopefully.
But I'm a petty person like that's that. Funny. So that's why I don't have money. That's why I'm broke. But I digress.
Oh, man.
Well, that was a cool story. Week. Yeah, that Olmec. People are going to get a trip out of that because that Olmec head is like amazing looking.
It looks so cool.
Yeah, it's so dope. So I'm going to get into one of the best things that I've ever read, and I'm saying this right now. So I'm out there, and I'm doing the old DuckDuckGo. I don't Googles. I do the DuckDuckGo because with my VPN on and government's trying to
you will not find me.
You will not find me. I have a rotating IP IP address.
He has a router just flying and his router's connected to a drone.
No one's getting me, US government. But anyway, so I'm out there and I'm looking at my favorite guy, the Batman. You know I'm a Batman guy.
Oh, I love Batman.
I love I was always a Batman guy.
Yeah. I can see your Batman right there behind you.
Oh yeah, he's right.
Right over your shoulder.
He's right there. And it's the old school Batman, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's the grumpy old Batman. But anyway, so like growing up as a kid in the early 90s, I was like, all right, Batman was always on TV. And then, you know, I'd watch Spider-Man and X-Men and stuff like that. But those were like my shows because we didn't have money. So whatever was on at the time, you had to watch it. And it was awesome. And I was like, Batman all the way, because he's just so like dark and just he doesn't have superpowers and he's super rich and I wanted money. So I was like, one day. And it turns out it didn't happen. So I'm Googling DuckDuckGoing old Batman. And I find this one show that's going to come out in 2024. And it is called, it's an animated series called Aztec Batman, The Clash of Empires.
Cool.
And it introduces a bold new hero. The quote is, a little less Schwarzenegger, a little more Bruce Lee. Which Bruce Lee, I mean, everybody wanted to be Bruce Lee growing up. That dude was just,
oh my gosh,
just a monster, just shredded and would just be like tearing everybody up. Beat up Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He got to fight Chuck Norris too.
He did. Chuck Norris let him win. So it goes on to say, there's a whole new Batman in town. Despite the familiar name, upcoming Aztec Batman, The Clash of the Empires will introduce an original hero overseen by Warner Brothers Animation and DC. The film is produced in Mexico in partnership with Anima and Chadron. This is a bold project, admitted director Juan Meza León. Joined on stage, so this is an interview with him. Joined on stage by his character designer, Maverick Nunez, and art director, Diego, promising an alternate take on the Spanish conquest of the Aztec Empire, but also opening up about his protagonist's surprisingly yet apparently historically accurate look. So this Batman is not going to have a big jaw, no big shoulders. He's going to be a lot more lean, and they're focusing more on the man versus the armor. He goes on to say, we wanted to be true to the story we're telling. We hired an expert in Aztec matters who was advising us every step of the way. It was said expert who, among others, suggested opting for a leaner physique. The word you're going to keep hearing is authenticity. So they went straight to all these different indigenous people that are in the, you know, that are in the film industry. And they were asking them, okay, so what would you do? Like, we want this to be authentic. So a lot of the close people who are closer to their indigeneity were like, look, let's make him lean. Let's make him like more like Bruce Lee, like just shredded, but like have the small waist, taller, and just have like that indigenous looking face. So there's been like Warner Brothers done like different versions of Batman, one specifically in Japan, but this is a whole new story. So it wasn't about saying, oh, he has a shark repellent now. He said, you know, referring to the, you know, when he had shark repellent and stuff, or, hey, he has this huge batarang and all the, like all the gadgets and gizmos and stuff like that. It was about being authentic to Aztec culture. It says it's a series, but he goes on to say in the film, Kyolani, who is he's going to be the Batman, is marked by a tragedy after witnessing his father's murder by the hands of Spanish conquistadors. Soon he will have to face the likes of Joker, who is going to be like the Joker, and he is the high priest and counselor to Moctezuma.
Whoa.
So that's, this is like, yeah, so they're going way deep.
That's really cool.
And the conquistador is going to be more like Two-Face, which is really dope. So it's going to have like a burn or something like that. So in one of the pictures, we'll post the picture. It shows the conquistador and half of his helmet is on his face and the other half's off.
Aye, aye, aye.
Kind of like,
Dos caras.
Kind of like,
what? Two-Face.
Oh,
two faces.
Yeah. My brain was saying two cows.
Two cows.
Cause that's close to it, right?
It sounds like it.
So he says, we explored the Joker, having him tear off his cheeks as a form of sacrifice. Well, we got the note that was a little too gory. So they didn't want them to do that.
Oh, it's man. Like,
are you kidding me?
That would have been like, awesome.
This is Aztec. And it's on HBO.
Yeah, HBO's. Like,
you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, HBO's. Well, here, like in the States, HBO's known as like, oh, it's like HBO. It's going to be graphic. It's going to be, you know, like uncensored. So I don't know how it is over there.
Yeah. Oz. What else? Freaking Westworld.
Yeah, like a lot of stuff.
The Western. What was the Western? Deadwood.
Deadwood. Yeah, Deadwood. Very graphic.
Oh gosh, that was so good. Yeah. So along with the Joker and Two-Face, so they're going to have Forest Ivy, who's like Poison Ivy. They're going to have Alfred, which is like a faithful Aztecan, and the Jaguar Woman, aka, you know, Catwoman.
Oh, that's
so really that's cool. Going to be really cool how they're recreating this to tell a new story, yeah. Which I think is amazing. It's kind of like when we talked to Jimmy, he got to write that Marvel Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, let's take him to Pasadena, like where I was from, you know, like or where I'm from.
Yeah, because
that's really
because
cool.
Peter Parker's always in New York. So it's like, let's take him over here and tell a whole new story. So I think that's really cool.
So the Jaguar Woman, she's the one who helps him embrace his spiritual animal and becomes a warrior. The Aztecs only fought during the day, but she's a little thief in the night, kind of Robin Hood-esque of the Aztec people. She is teaching him how to make his way around darkness and use it as a weapon. The director also said that the characters will change gradually. This isn't going to be like a boom, boom, like, you know, now he has the weapons and now he has, like, it's not going to be like that. He's not going to have his armor to begin with. Like, he's just going to be a guy. So in typical Batman mythology, it's like an overnight transformation.
Yeah.
But Iolani, he doesn't immediately have his armor. And it goes same for the Joker character, Yoka. He starts off using the Bat God's temple as his lair and uses the technology from the Spanish to fight them to avenge his father. Ooh. So we talked about
Camazotz.
So we talk about the Bat God and stuff like that in one of our previous episodes, but it's something akin to that, right? Like he's going in there and he just needs some place to hide and to try to like be in touch with his feelings and deal with this tragedy that's happened. And he goes into this temple, and that's when he becomes the Batman.
That's so cool.
So it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
He kind of goes, I didn't want it, like the director goes on to say, I didn't want it to be some cartoony thing. I wanted it to be serious, dramatic, and dark. So as a huge Batman fan growing up with Aztec culture, hearing these two words together, I was like, boom, this is it. I want to do this. I'm very excited that all this Mexican talent is working so hard to elevate Latin American animation. So this is going to be an amazing thing. He goes on, the last question he's asked on this panel is, how about Batman's no killing rule? And he goes, oh shit, we're gonna have to make some changes.
Make it a little different.
So that was pretty cool. That like made me feel like really amazing because I love Batman so much. And the face, like I've always wanted a Batman tattoo. I was thinking about getting that Aztec Batman tattoo because
that'd be cool.
Gosh, I love Batman so much.
Yeah, Batman's amazing. I can't wait for that.
Michael Keaton, number one.
Michael Keaton.
Got to keep saying it over and over again.
Then if you want a little more of a, if you just want to laugh, you go with Adam West. He's the one with the shark repellent.
Oh, yeah. And then if you're new school, you go with, what did I say his name was?
Christian Bateman? Bale. Yeah, you said Bateman or something. Well, I mean, now there's Christian Bale. Now there's Ben Affleck. There's the guy who was in Twilight.
So I'm going to say it right now. So when Ben Affleck, when they said he was going to be Batman, I was so pissed off.
I was too. Like, I was like, come on.
Standing on. But they made him like older Batman.
Yeah, he was like gritty.
And I was all, ah, damn it. I like this guy so much. I was like, he's such a good
guy. And Ben Affleck's he's a huge guy too.
Ben Affleck is a big dude.
Yeah, he's big. So to play that kind of Batman where he's like old and gritty and like worn down by the world.
And just like tired of shit. Yeah. Just like, you know what? Everyone fucking died. I don't give a crap. Like, what do you want me to do? And Wonder Woman's like, well, we need to help. And he's like, get the hell out of here. Where the hell were you when I was doing this crap, you damn lady?
Yeah.
Like, man, so
it was good. Yeah, he was.
I will not watch Twilight Batman. I just won't.
I haven't seen it either. So I don't know if it's good.
I won't watch. I can't watch it. I tried and I was all, even my son, who's a huge Batman fan, he walked in and goes, that's not Batman. And I go, what do you mean? He's like, I'm Batman.
That's Batboy.
Oh yeah. We're not one. It's Batboy. He just has a boyish face. I don't know.
Yeah.
Everyone looked a lot older back then.
That is
true. And now everyone looks younger. Oh, well.
So next I'm going to get into this story that I read. And I originally saw it, shout out to indigenous.tv on Instagram. They covered this story for a while and they were giving a lot of updates with it. And that's how I was keeping up with it. So it's a really interesting story. It's about this fashion company called Nijoni. And it's the brainchild of a Dutch designer named Kitty van Koessen and Ben Bosboom. I think I'm saying those right. And it's marketed as a luxury brand with the utmost highest quality. Very fancy, fancy clothes. Fancy pants clothes. And
fancy pants. Very fancy, fancy pants.
So this company has heavy inspiration from Dene culture. Now, here's where the problem lies. First, the name, first of all. Nijoni. It's a Dene word. It means beautiful or beauty. And they had this little section on their website called Behind the Name, because they wanted you to go to their website, click on it, and be like, oh, Behind the Name. Let's see where they got this beautiful name.
Yeah, like About or whatever.
Yeah. And it said, in the heart of the Navajo Nation, where vibrant traditions intertwine with the breathtaking landscapes of the Southwest, there exists a word that encapsulates the essence of beauty and harmony, Nijoni. It means beautiful or beauty in the Navajo language. It embodies more than just authentic. It embodies more than just aesthetic allure. It represents a profound philosophy deeply ingrained within Navajo culture, one of balance, harmony, and reverence for the natural world. They say, we have embraced the spirit of Nijoni, drawing inspiration from the rich cultural tapestry of the Navajo people. With deep respect and admiration for their traditions, we have chosen to honor their heritage by adopting the name for our brand. A lot of issues with this.
Yeah, first of all, I'm going to go ahead and go to the first one, which isn't going to be your take. It's just my take.
Okay.
You don't even live in this continent. So that's my first
thing. Yeah, that's another thing. They don't even live here.
Let's go to the first thing. You live across the seas. I would be less pissed off. I would still be pissed off, but I'd be less pissed off if someone's like, I'm from Oklahoma. And like, I'd be like, all right, I get it. Like, all right, don't do that.
It's like, still, like, you should like, know better.
You should know better. But these people are like, in a magical land far away.
They're in,
you know, like,
because
there's these people.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I picture. Like, they're doing it. Like, what are you doing? Like, don't be doing all that crap.
Like a nature documentary.
Yeah. And it's like, we've taken their hopes and dreams. It's like, wait, hold on. Because I get it. It's like Jimmy said before. I keep bringing up Jimmy. Sorry. But he made a lot of good points when we did that interview.
Oh, yeah, he did.
That, like, he's renowned world traveler, right? Him and the Black Eyed Peas. They've just been going all over the place and traveling all over the place. So he's seen a lot more than most. And he says that people don't even know that we still exist, like in Europe and stuff.
Yeah.
Like all around the world. They're just like, what? You guys are still there? I'm like, nah, you guys, they wiped you out. So I get it that she's like, okay, so this is the thing. And these are the words. But she's not even from the States. And then she comes over, then she says all that, and then she takes the name. And this is another thing that if you guys have been anywhere over, you know, Indian Instagram and, you know, face anything like that, you see it. They say buy indigenous artists' work. Don't buy indigenous inspired work.
Yes.
So it's one of those things where she says inspired. It's like, oh, that's the key term right there. Nope. Shut it down.
Yeah. When they had an Instagram, they don't anymore. I don't know what happened with that. I think they got too much flack.
Oh,
so,
they shut it down?
I couldn't find their Instagram at all. Oh. Maybe they changed the name to their Instagram. I don't know. But I tried to look for it. But when they first posted this, because they posted it to their Instagram too.
This wasn't that long ago. This was like a month and a half ago.
Yeah, this was like, yeah.
This was like March or something of 24.
Yeah, an indigenous creator, Pishon Bread. They are a fashion designer, model, producer, huge following on Instagram. They left one simple comment to the company, Nijoni, and it just said, is it necessary to appropriate a cultural word with deep meaning? That's all they said. Simple question. They tried to start a dialogue. It wasn't preachy. It wasn't like, how could you, blah, blah, blah. Just a simple question. And then the company just responded.
Yeah, people don't like that. It's like when you made that post where it said colonizers say, you know, when they say go back to where you came from, and you said,
yeah,
when I'm on my native land, and people got like pissed off. And I showed Kristen, my wife, who's white, and she goes, what's the problem? And I go, everyone got mad. She's all, why?
People got very mad.
You know why? Because they focused on the word colonizer. That's why.
Yeah.
So would you rather, I think they would rather if you said, like, but, okay, but if you said, when white people say, they would have been pissed off about that too. Like, yeah. It would have still been mad. It wouldn't have mattered.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Because you didn't even say specifically a race. You said colonizer.
Yeah.
Which that could be anybody.
It's interesting.
Yeah. But people don't like when you start dialogues and say things that they don't like.
No. And when they left this comment, the company just responded telling them, get a life. And then any comments after that, criticizing them, asking questions, or trying to start dialogues, they were immediately being blocked. And there wasn't any back and forth from that. So that tells me right there that they're not open to learning, being educated on what they're doing. They're just right away, nah, we don't want to hear from you. Blocked. We don't want to hear it. Blocked. Delete.
Well, yeah, it could be their social media manager too, though. Like
they, it could
like,
be that.
Like too. Most companies, it's not going to be this designer that's like checking Instagram, right? Normally, especially this high end kind of, you know, designer. It's going to be like some intern that's just like, I don't know. I'm not even getting paid yet. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah. they gave me a sandwich and that was my payment for this week. Like, it's probably some poor kid.
Yeah. That's, it could be something like that
too. That's just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't know. If the designer sees it, she's going to hit me. Allegedly.
And then the criticism.
Allegedly. Yeah.
The criticism got so bad that they decided to just deactivate the comments on their post. And then they removed the behind the name section on their website, which it's weird because they removed it. And then when I checked like a few days later, they put it back for a few days and then they removed it again. And now it's not there. So I don't know what was going on with that. And then they released a new statement saying, we are actively engaged in exploring avenues for supporting the Navajo community through donations, ensuring that we honor their rich culture and respect with sensitivity. In our efforts, we are mindful of the significance of the term Nijoni to the Navajo people and seek to ensure that its use is appropriate and respectful. Our aim is to contribute positively without engaging in cultural appropriation, thereby fostering a relationship of mutual understanding and appreciation. So this post was followed by a beautiful picture with three generations of Dene women wearing traditional clothing. And like when you first look at it, you're like, oh,
that's so good.
They have their,
that's amazing.
Yeah. They have this
wonderful, amazing thing.
Yeah. They have this awesome post. They're saying all the right things, and now they have a picture of people from the community. So it's like, oh, I guess, you know, everything's okay.
They learn from their mistakes. They're talking to the elders.
Yeah, which does happen sometimes.
We're going to donate.
Yeah.
Yeah, we messed up. We're going to donate to this, you know, to the people, and hopefully we can come to a mutual understanding. We'll change, you know, we were bad. We didn't realize we were bad. My bad.
Yeah.
So let's fix it. That's what it sounds like on the face of it.
Yeah. And the picture is of the Jumbo family, who are Dene. So it's a daughter, mother, and grandmother. And the person who took the picture, Wilfred Jumbo, he spoke up as soon as this was posted. And he said that he took the pictures of the women, but he did not give permission for the Nijoni company to use them. And that the Jumbo family have.
I wish I had a sound clip right now. I wish I had a sound bite. Then I'll go, dun, dun, dun.
Oh, no. It's just funny because, again, they're not from the States, so they probably have no idea how indigenous culture works or communities. But it's like, if you're native, it's like everyone knows each other. It's funny.
Yeah.
So when you post
a small community.
Yeah. When you post a picture of real people on the internet for everyone to see, and you say these are supporting me or they're working with me, somebody's gonna see it and be like, oh, that's my cousin, or it's like, oh, that's my,
I was just
my auntie, like my I'm gonna ask them, like, oh, you're with this company, and they're gonna be like, no, I don't know what's going on.
No, what really happened is the uncle got knocked, his door knocked on, and they're like, hey, so you're famous now, you're rich.
you're not gonna tell me
Well, so now you're all over there in Europe with the Dutch, like, what the hell are you talking about?
You think you're all bad now because you're famous?
You think you're all bad? Yeah. So you're better than me, huh?
Oh, hey, man. You
better than me?
But yeah, they got called out so quick. so fast. And the Jumbo family, they have their own business called Jumbo Creations Navajo Clothing.
Check it out. Nope.
It's, oh man, they have such beautiful clothing and stuff on their shop. We'll definitely have a link to that. So check them out.
Oh yeah, I'll put it in the show notes for sure.
Yeah, but this other company, they pretty much stole the photos from their website. They got their PR team, made some kind of damage control post, used the photos, and then it's just such a mess. It's like, how did you think this was going to fly? I don't know.
I mean, at least Google stock photos. You know what I mean? Like, go to, what is it, Pixabay?
Yeah, there are stock photos.
Pixabay has, like, there's stock photos you could buy. They're free. Like at least do something like that
mm-hmm.
if you're going to use it for something like PR.
Right.
And they have enough money. Their clothing's, like, stupid. There's no way in hell I could afford that stuff.
No, their stuff is so expensive. I mean,
it's like, oh, you want a bag?
It's in pounds, so I don't know how much it converts to, but it is a lot still.
I think pounds is more than U.S.
Okay, yeah, then it's a lot. The stuff I saw was like 1,600, 2,000, 3,000.
Yeah, it's 1.25 because they used to be euros, and then they, you know, Brexit, that whole stupid thing, mm-hmm. and then they left. So then now back, it's back to pounds. But yeah, it's $1.25. So wow.
So yeah, it's more expensive.
Yeah, it's like 1,600 pounds. Yeah, it's like $2,000,
man,
for a bag, or like $2,000 for like a stupid. It's like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Me?
So, and because Indigenous TV on Instagram, they were covering the story. So they were getting a lot of traction to the story. They were getting a lot of people to know what's going on. So then the company Nijoni posted, I don't know if they posted on their Instagram or if they sent them an email, but they posted an apology like specifically to Indigenous TV. And it said, "We wanted to take a moment to reach out to you directly regarding recent concerns raised about the name of our brand, Nijoni. First and foremost, we want to express our deepest apologies for any emotional harm caused to members of the Navajo community. It was never our intention to offend or disrespect your culture in any way. Upon learning about the impact of our brand name, we have taken immediate steps to address the situation. We understand that many individuals have expressed their concerns, and while we are disheartened by the negativity, we remain committed to listening and learning from the constructive feedback. As a small company, we have implemented measures to block accounts that engage in disrespectful behavior, and we are committed to fostering a more positive and inclusive environment moving forward." Well, I mean, that was back in March when they issued that apology, and their company, on their website, everything looks exactly the same. So I don't know how much they're willing to change, or if they're just going to try to be like, well, maybe everyone will forget it. Because over there, I don't know how many people have an issue with it. They probably don't. But
I mean, you had their lizard queen, who took all the, like, they scrubbed the internet as soon as she died. Remember that crap?
That was insane.
When she died, they scrubbed the web. They like went on Google and said, "Don't put any of this stuff." It's like, no. You went over to Canada and took a bunch of Indian kids and then said, dance for me. And then they did that. And then they went, she was an amazing person and she did nothing but positive things for
these
poor brown children.
They tried to erase so much
even
stuff.
Our mom was like, she didn't do that. I can't find it. We're like, yeah, they scrubbed it. And I screenshotted it and showed her because I take receipts. I don't care.
It's so insane.
I screenshot everything.
You got it. I mean, especially on the internet, they can manipulate a lot of stuff on there.
DuckDuckGo. Yeah. All day long.
But yeah. I mean, that's what I had about that company. Hopefully, I mean, it's sad that they weren't really open to dialogue, especially from people within the community telling. They weren't even being aggressive for the most part from what I saw. They were just telling them like, hey, this isn't okay. Can we talk about why it's not okay? And they were just like, no, we're not going to listen to you. We're going to do what we want. And it shouldn't be like that.
I've been to Europe. They're weird. Yeah. All of your whole continent. I just said it right now.
Except for our amazing listeners in Europe who love the show. It's okay.
Yeah. I've been to UK, Scotland, England, Ireland, Germany. I do like Germany though. They got some good beer and they're straightforward. They don't care.
Yeah.
They're cabbies in the early aughts, the cabbies. Man, they were the best. I love them so much.
Oh, man.
Doner kebabs. Oh, my gosh. So much good food.
We got to go like Germany tour.
But anyway, I like food. obviously. You
see, food and beer. It's the best.
No, but I'm not talking about like all of Europeans. I'm talking about like the that type of like fashion.
Oh yeah, they're very weird.
Atmosphere, the fashion. They're really, yeah, they're kind of like elitist, and it's really sad that you would have such a negative, like you would feel so uppity about yourself that you can't say, oh, I did something wrong.
Yeah.
People always have a problem with doing, like being called out. I don't get it, but I'm a broken human being. So when I mess up, I just go, yeah, I did it. You're right. Next. What happened?
Move on.
Can I fix it? No. Then shut the hell up. Yeah. Can we move on? Like if I can't fix it, if I can fix it, I'll fix it. But if not, then sorry.
Yeah.
Everyone gets to make a mistake. Not like that was kind of big though. Yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Turtle Island Talk. We talked about some positive, some negative,
a little bit of negative.
But you guys need to be informed about this information anyway. Like you guys need to be aware. So that's what we're here for. Credits to Indigenous.tv for that story that Gabe talked about, and credit to the Jumbo family. We'll definitely put them on the bottom of our show notes. And you know what? Just live your life, enjoy every day like it's your last, because it could be. No, it sounds a little weird, but you know what? Just enjoy life. Enjoy each other. Life sucks to me most of the time, but the times they get to spend with each other just make it kind of special.
Yeah.
And it makes you keep fighting, and you just want to keep moving forward. And if you can make a little impact on society, then I think that's all that matters. So it's whether it's on society, your community, your spouse, your kids, your relatives, the nation. Just keep fighting the good fight. So that's all I got.
Yeah.
So until next time, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Gabriel.
You'll be remembered by the tracks you leave.
And remain close to the Great Spirit.
And Michael Keaton is the only Batman.
And read Batman. Read Batman.
Read the Batman books. I have some really good Batman books right here. Bye.
If you're not spiritually connected to the earth and understand the spiritual reality of how to